right. Before we get started, we do have handouts for you to kind of fill in the blank and follow along. They're on the front row, so there's a couple stacks there. Let's see if you can get somebody to help you. So we're going to be talking about tonight, first, heaven's health care is yours to receive. Heaven's health care is yours to receive. Now, those of you that get the preliminary text message, group text message, we typically talk about, I mentioned about open enrollment, and that's usually a case when, you know, you're working with a company or a corporation. Around the fall of the year to the beginning of the year, they have, in different phases or different companies have open enrollment where you can enroll in benefits for the year up to come. And so you have an election based on what you want to, what kind of benefits you want to get to select, you know, low-level benefits. I know in healthcare.gov, if you ever go there, they have their benefits categorized as bronze package. That's the minimum medical package. Then they have silver, a little bit higher, and then gold, and then platinum. So you, the more higher you go up, the more you pay for it. And then, of course, they have, in medical terms or insurance terms, you know, HMO, or the PPO, and then, of course, point of service or POS. You know, they kind of go up that way. Well, God has, how many know God has a healthcare plan? God has what we are calling to affect your thinking, heaven's healthcare. Did God provide for our health and well-being? Yes, he did. Through his redemptive work, through our Lord Jesus Christ, he's made provision in the physical arena. And so we say God's steps, three parts or components of his health care is first, and this is not in your notes, but you can write it down. First is divine healing. Divine healing. There's a little section on the back you can make notes on. First level is divine healing. Everybody say divine healing. Divine healing is when you... when you get sick, so define sick. Well, sick can be simply defined the absence of health. The absence of health. So when you have the absence of total health, you are sick. Sick could be, you know, you got the flu or all the way to something big, you know, cancer. So sick is the absence of health. And so when you're sick, what's the healthcare benefit for you from God's economy or heaven's economy, heaven's health? That is divine healing. That's to get you back, to get you back to healed and whole. The second level is what we call divine health. So first level is divine healing. Second level is divine health. Divine health is where you don't get sick. You go through periods of time where you don't get sick. We remember Kenneth E. Hagin when he would say in school, he said, you know, I'm going on, it's 50 years since he had a headache. You know, 60 years, he said, before he had to take any aspirin. Now, he said he passed, the people mistake that and say, well, he must be somebody special. But he would say, to follow up, I passed up marvelous opportunities to get sick. I passed up many opportunities where the headache started coming, the fever started coming, but he dealt with it because just like you and I have today, he understood that I have benefits. Everybody say, I have benefits. And then the last step or the highest level is divine life. Divine life is when you minister health and healing to others around you because of your presence, sickness can't stay. For example, one guy was riding with, Kenneth Hagin, he used this example, and he would, he had sugar diabetes, and he had diabetes, and of course, he told this man of God, he said, who was with him the whole week, he said, all this week you're with me, you're not going to register any sugars, meaning high blood sugars. He was not going to register any high blood sugars. And so you'll get a chance to eat steak and pie and all that stuff and not have to register any. Well, what was happening, he was around the presence of a man, it could be a woman of God, that was walking in divine life, where healing power was emanating from him to a degree where his faith could stretch out in a close proximity and keep everybody well and whole around. Sickness couldn't stay in his presence. Everybody say divine healing. Everybody say divine health. And then divine life. So walking in divine life. John G. Lake walked in divine life. They took over in Africa. He was in Africa and the bubonic plague, very horrible case of bubonic plague broke out in the mission field in the camp there, and everybody was dying off. And he said, what is it? You know, they got some virus going out. Very contagious, very, very contagious. And they said, well, he said, well, take some of my DNA. So they took some of his DNA and put it on a microscope, and the virus that was going around, microscope, and his DNA overtook the virus. Amen. Heaven's healthcare is the best program. Now, this is a reorientation for many of us just to realize that this is God's benefits for us to believe and receive as needed. So many people are worried about, well, healthcare and my medical benefits and the doctor and this and that. But, you know, there can be a situation where you live the rest of your days with no sickness or disease. God has that available for you and I. Isn't that good? Now, E.W. Kenyon, who pastored, I believe it's called New Covenant Baptist Church, way back in the day, but he was a Word of Faith guy, and he taught his church 13 weeks out of the year on healing, divine healing and healing. And 13 weeks out of the year, he had this testimony before he went on to be with the Lord. He had this testimony that he said, 52 years of pastoring the church, he said, not one person had a major surgery. Not one person died prematurely. Not one person died of sickness or disease. The only people that died were people of old age, and it was time for them to transition and go home. Now, is that available today? Is that a rarity or one-time situation? No, but we have to look at what God has provided versus what has been allowed in the community in which we live to almost make sickness acceptable. And so we have to look at sickness and Satan and sin as synonymous things that we have to resist and we have to rebel against. We have to exercise our faith against these things to partake and appropriate what God has for us. Because you can't just sit there and patty cake with sickness or disease. Okay? So let's look at these reasons why we should have a full knowing of it's God's will to heal all. So first scripture is in first Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Through 22, it says, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes and keep them in the midst of thine heart. For that they are life, God's words, unto those that find them, and health, King James says health, margin of my Bible says medicine, to all their flesh. So the first reason we know it's God's will to heal everyone is God's word is medicine. God's word is medicine. Now, the medicine has two parts. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep looking at the word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. This is the process of immunity. God's word is healing medicine. Isn't that good? And what's so beneficial about God's word being medicine, unlike what you see on typical commercials about different drugs or antibiotics or different pills, they give you what the pill will do, but then they have this undertone commentary for about a couple of minutes of all the possible side effects and warnings. God's word has no side effects, negative side effects. Isn't that good? Everybody say, God's word is medicine. It's like taking medicine. So you take God's word and you take his medicine. Now, anytime you take God's word, we know it has to be by faith. And, you know, just like you eat food, you have to open your mouth. So you can't take a pill through your jaw. It doesn't usually absorb through your jaw, right? You got to, or your head. You got to open your mouth and take it, right? Take the pill. You have to open your mouth and take the word of God. So don't let it come out of your eyes. Don't let it leave your heart. Keep it in the midst of your heart. And then life will come to you and health and healing and medicine to all your flesh. Now let's go to chapter 18 of Proverbs and look at the second reason. The second reason is a strong spirit will sustain you. A strong spirit will sustain you. Proverbs 18:14, Amplified Bible, says the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. Isn't that beautiful? The strong spirit of a man. Now we know that we're three-part being. We are a spirit. We possess a soul and we live in a physical body. And so our strong spirit will sustain us in bodily pain or trouble. Now, Joel chapter 3, we just read that in our Bible reading, verse 20, said, let the weak say what? I am strong. So you must maintain a strong spirit. Spirit, soul, body. When your spirit is strong, its characteristics are you have joy and peace. You have solid faith. So how can I tell my spirit is strong? Well, joy and peace monitors, just like the thermostat here. Your joy level is good. Your peace level is good. That means you're not susceptible to worries and cares and little minor fears and phobias. You're not worried about the symptoms that try to encroach your body. You are strong in your spirit. Now, your strong spirit, the byproduct of it is that it remains at the ascendancy or in the dominant position over your three-part nature. Your spirit man dominates your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and your body, which is your five physical senses, your flesh and blood and bones. So your strong spirit is supposed to be at the ascendancy, the dominant individual in your life. That's the real you. Isn't that good? But he says, goes on to say, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Now, what makes our spirit weak? Everybody say, watch out. For drains. For drains. Drains weaken your spirit. Because you can be in church and get filled up. Leave out of here, your spirit man's really just really excited and strong, but then things will absolutely drain your spirit. We know strife will drain you, right? You can fuss away the anointing. You can get into unforgiveness, and that will absolutely poke holes in your spiritual buoy. It'll flatten your balloon, so to speak. And then unforgiveness and having aughts, grudges, or offenses, those will drain your spirit. So we know a strong spirit of man, as the scripture says, will sustain you. Third reason is because of the original creation. The original creation. Genesis 1:31, we know God, after he made everything, he made this outstanding statement in the Word of God. And God, Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Everybody say very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So everything he made was very good. We know that pain is not very good. Cancer is not very good. Right? Leukemia is not very good. Arthritis, crippling arthritis and bursitis is not very good. Right? Dementia is not very good. So those things aren't good. God didn't make them. And when God made everything, he said he saw it, and he said it's very good. Fourth reason is because his will in heaven and the world to come. Because of God's will in heaven and his and the world to come. We all heard that portion of the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is," where? In heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. His will for heaven is nobody's sick up there. Nobody's in pain up there. Now, Revelation 21, verse 1 through 8 says, "I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and the God himself shall be with them, and be their God.'" Look at verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are faithful, true and faithful.'" Isn't that good? So we see that in heaven and in the world to come, there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more sad. Isn't that good? Fifth reason we know it's God's will to heal everybody is the origin of sickness. Now, we know sometimes people make the mistake of blaming God for things that happen to us physically or happen to a relative of ours or a loved one, but God didn't put something on somebody to teach them. You and I don't do that and put a person's hand on a hot stove and say, "Okay, let me teach you about fire," and then burn their hand, right? That's not the way you teach about fire or hot. That's called child abuse, and God's not a child abuser. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement," or reconciliation. Listen to verse 12 very intently here. "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." By how many people? One man. And that person was Adam. Sin entered into the world. "And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have," what? "Sin." So sin produced death. Spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Sickness also produces death. Sickness is a form of physical death. It causes your body to decay faster and more rapidly because of the absence of health. Sin and sickness are the same. And people look at the cross and say, "Well, thank God Jesus died for our sins." But in the same redemptive act of him going to the cross, come on now, shedding his blood for our sin, stripes were laid on his back for our healing. He became sin for us, but he also became sickness for us. Why? So we don't have to be sick anymore. The same act of dying for our sins purchased the price for our healing and health. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that good? And so we know the original author of sin and sickness is not God, it's Satan. These are his nasty offsprings. Death came by sin that Adam did, and also sickness came because of Satan as well and sin. Now, the sixth reason is, again, just to tie into the fifth reason, that sickness is a work of the devil. Sickness is a work of the devil. In verse 8 of 1 John 3, we see, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. So we see he's the one who started it all. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of who? The devil. This word destroy is the word that means undo, loosen, or dissolve. This work of the devil in the area of our physical body and health and well-being is sickness and disease. Sickness and disease is a work of the devil. We know Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so what did Jesus do? Why did Jesus come? One of the ways is to undo, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. Sickness is a work of the devil. It is not a work of God. Amen. Seventh reason is because of the covenant of healing. And we see the first redemptive name in this covenant revealed in Scripture, Jehovah Rapha. One of the first introductions to mankind through the ministry of Moses in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant was Jehovah Rapha. Let's read it. You got the scripture right there. Ephesians 15, 22 through 26. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, for there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So this is a time where he revealed one of his first redemptive names as Jehovah Rapha. What does it mean? Lord, my physician. Who's your physician? Everybody say the Lord. So we would say he's your primary care physician. Under heaven's health care. Well, I don't have a doctor. Well, I have to go find a doctor. You have a doctor. His name is Dr. Jesus. We got to start thinking that God is my source of healing and health. God created the body. He created your body. He knows every wiring and every cell of your body. Even Jesus said he knows the number of your hairs. He knows the inventory amount of your hair follicles. David said he's intimate. He knows everything about me. Even my thoughts are far off. He knows the very fabric and the very tapestry in which I was created. He knows all your wiring. So he's a great physician. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord's your healer. Everybody say, the Lord is my healer.
The Lord is my healer.
The Lord is my physician. So Rapha, we just put the Hebrew word out. That means to mend, to cure, to cause, to heal, physician, repair, thoroughly make whole, to restore, to heal, to make helpful. They were at this water place. They couldn't drink the water because it was bitter or bitterness. And we've often said sickness is a bitter pill. Nobody likes to be sick. Does anybody like to be sick in here? So they started to complain. I don't feel good. I got a headache. I got a fever. I'm coughing up a lung. My sinuses are hurting. My head is pounding. They begin to complain. And then, of course, murmuring is different than believing God, right? Because sometimes we get into the cultural calmness of the day and we accept sickness. We accept sin. We accept disease. We accept things that just, okay, this is just the way it is. I get sick every fall. I get sick every spring. When the pollen count goes up, I get sick. You know, my eyes get red. I get a headache. Come on now. When the doctor says you're going to have this the rest of your life, you say, okay, I accept that. Is that right? That's not right. That's not supposed to be right. But some people act like that, though. The point I'm trying to make. So, and we made a little sub note under murmuring because that's a bad deal, which is complaining. The second level is criticizing, and then the third level is condemning or sentencing, judging somebody as speaking evil of another. So we're not supposed to be doing that, right? But thank God our Lord made the bitter water sweet. They put the tree in the water, which was a type of the cross, and the waters became sweet. And they went from bitter waters to healing waters. Isn't that good? And so think of this, friends, in the area of complaining and criticizing or murmuring, because he heard them murmur in their tents even, and God didn't like it so much. And so we made this note in reference before, never compare yourselves with other people against yourself. Never commend yourself. And never classify yourself. One of our instructors, or we have a quote from him, he said, if you want to go down and stay down, just gripe and fuss when you have problems. When you have sickness, when you have pain in your life, just gripe and fuss. Does anybody want to go down and stay down? This is what, unfortunately, so many folks do. He ran the healing school, prayer and healing school, and people would come into healing school, prayer and healing school, and they'd be sitting in the back of the class, and they'd be mad, arms folded. I'm going to see what God's going to do. I'm going to see if God's going to heal me. If you want to go down and stay down, just gripe and fuss. Those kind of people don't see miracles. They don't get answers because they complain, they gripe, and they fuss. That is basically unbelief. You can't gripe in faith. You can't complain in faith. Turn to someone next to you and say, you can't gripe in faith, brother or sister. You can't fuss in faith, brother or sister. Come on now. Now, what do we say? In bold letters, it's right there. Doubt, despairs, complains, and is sad. Oh, I got this. Oh, I heard. I ain't got that. Now, Pastor Cynthia was talking about the financial area. The same act also provided for our finances. And when we talk about what we don't have, what we can't do, what we ain't got, when we don't have to get healed, Jesus already got it for us. Many people in church are trying to get something Jesus already got. If he's already got it, you already get it and got it once you made Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Everybody say, I already have it. Now, see, and again, this goes back to what grace is. Grace is something not you don't earn, merit, nor deserve. But he still gave it to you anyway. He still did it for you anyway. He treated you and me like sin never happened. You get healing, you get prosperity, you get salvation, you get deliverance, because that's all a what? A grace. Everybody say, thank God for his grace. Woo, glory to God. Grace, amazing grace. Grace makes, faith takes. Grace has made available your healing. You have to do nothing for your healing. You don't even have to put up a copayment. You don't even have to pay your doctor's bill. It's already been paid. By his stripes, ye were healed. Isn't that good? But faith has to take it. Now, hope's a good waiter, but hope's a poor receiver. So some people are hoping to get healed, hoping to get better, hoping to somehow amend physically, hoping that this thing will get cured up where I can tolerate the pain. No. Keep your hope, but then turn it into faith. Confident expectation. That means by faith, I take it. If it's given to me as a benefit, you have to take your benefits. You have to receive your benefits. Faith takes. Grace makes. Faith takes what grace has made. Are you listening to me? You don't have faith in your ability to strain real hard and jut your jaw and try to wrangle healing up, rustle healing up. It's faith in what he's done. Faith in his finished work. He took the stripes. He became sin. He became sickness so that you can be healed. Are you listening to me? You don't try to get healed and try to muscle up and say, oh, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to make you heal me. No. You can't make him heal you. He's already healed you. He's already provided healing for you. So you don't focus your faith on, I'm trying, Pastor, I'm trying. Stop trying and do it. I'm not trying to be mean or crude, but many of us need to stop trying. We need to start believing and receiving. Do our part. Our part is faith. God did his part, grace. He's already provided. By his stripes. Now they say 39 stripes, which was 39 major categories of sickness and disease, all that exist ever in the world and that will ever exist. He took 39 stripes. By his stripes, ye are and were healed. From everything from critical ill and comatose to minor things like sickness, flu, fever. Hallelujah. But get your faith stirred up. Because the only way you access these benefits is with your faith. Now, doubt, despairs, complains, and is sad. So this is where we can measure ourselves. This is where you can measure yourself. Am I complaining? Am I despairing? Am I sad? Despair means I've given up. I stopped using my faith or exercising my faith against this thing I'm not supposed to have. It's contraband. It's illegal to my body because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I'm not supposed to give God a diseased body, a sick body, a debilitated body, a sin-filled and sin-racked body. I'm supposed to give him a holy body, acceptable body. Come on now. A body that gives him him honor and gives him glory. Amen. If I complain about my knees, my back, my hands, my wrist, my head, my nose, my sinus, that's doubt. If I'm always sad about how much I hurt or how much sickness, and then you get this warped religious notion that God's trying to teach me something. I'm doing this, and I'm giving God some glory. God's not getting the glory out of you being sick. God's not getting the glory out of his kids all laid up in bed and can't get up and can't move around and can't do their will, his will and the work of God, your assignment in the earth. He's not getting any glory out of that. He's getting glory out of saying, look at my son, look at my daughter, look at my child. They're doing the work of God. They're doing the will of God without any reservation. They're able to run hard for the Lord and not get cut down or cut off because of some sickness or disease. Isn't that beautiful? Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. How do you know you're in faith? When you rejoice, give thanks, and are glad. Because you say, thank you, Lord, you've already provided. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, that healing belongs to me. And I take it now. I take it now. Everybody say, I take it now. All right. Well, let's keep going here. Did God deal with the bitterness in our lives? Yes. Is there a covenant of healing? Did God establish something? Yes, he did. In Exodus 23, 25 through 26, it says, worship the Lord your God and his blessings will be upon your food and water. And I will take sickness. Everybody say, I will take sickness away. He's taking sickness away. That means he knows it's not good for you. He's taking it away. This is part of your covenant package. Away from you, and none will miscarry or nor be barren in the land. I will give you a full lifespan. Today's English version says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and water, and I will take away sickness from among you. And all your sicknesses. We know, medically speaking, there's enough germs in most things that we eat and drink to cause us to be sick and hurt many times over. But what does God do? He indemnifies it. His power goes into motion. When you bless your food, you're not just saying grace. You're calling that steak and potatoes in the ministry. Fuel for your body is to help you have energy to do what God called you to do. It's not for you to rub your belly and lay up and burp and, you know, pass gas. You know, God wants you full of vital food and nutrients so you can be strong to do God's will, not to sleep all day, not to laze around all day. Come on now, not to be hurting all day and say, oh, I ate too much. No. Food has a purpose. You bless it to call it into the ministry. The blessing is, one of the components of the blessing is the anointing of God that overrides the curse. The curse of what? The curse of sickness. The curse of whatever germ might be in that food gets decontaminated. It gets sanctified to you. Sanctified to your body. It's good for my body now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Psalms 105, verse 37. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? All right, Psalms 105, 37. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not what? One feeble person among their tribes. Now, how many people were it? Well, there could have been, we're talking about millions of people. So you can think of all of San Antonio. They said as many as 3 million could have been, but they said at least 1.5 million Jews left Egypt. So 1.5 million to 3 million. So you're talking about San Antonio population or San Antonio and surrounding towns. You know, Helotes and Kirby, Converse, all those towns. So you're talking about all those people, and that was the will of God that nobody was sick. Nobody was broke. Silver and gold. And not one feet. Nobody foot swelled. Nobody was upchucking constantly because they had a virus. No, not one feeble person among the church. Nobody sick. Isn't that good? Could he keep a whole church healthy? Certainly he could. If he can keep 3 million people healthy. Could he keep your whole house healthy? Could you put a canopy over your whole house that healing's only allowed? Healing and health is only allowed, and sickness and disease are not allowed. So somebody tries to walk in with cancer cells, that dies right off of them once they go in your house. Could God do it? Certainly he could. He's God. He's God all by himself. Amen? Amen. And so we know God never breaks covenant. People are faithful to him, but he's always, are not always faithful to him, but he's always faithful. So let's talk about real quickly, and as we close, how does God do it? Now, this is where I want you to really kind of key in on. Because how do I get my benefits? Well, you got a benefits card. It's called the name of Jesus and the blood. That means it's been validated. You don't have to renew every year. It never expires. The blood of Jesus never loses its power. Keith Moore said, he said, there's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. That's what the Lord told him. Enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. Well, that includes everybody in this room. So for example, we ask the question, is Jesus still healing today? No, you don't hear a lot of time talked about it much, but he's still in it. He's still doing it. Perhaps you even notice an unusual bump, pain, abnormality in your body. Your sister calls you and tells you about bad doctor's report. You just received word that a friend has been diagnosed with a terminal disease. Disease, epidemic, plague, sickness, pain, cancer, contagions, germs. No doubt, everybody in this room has faced a challenge of sickness, disease, calamity, and tragedy. Perhaps your mother, unfortunately, had Alzheimer's. Your dad had triple bypass or some heart disease. Your great uncle died of lung cancer, so forth and so on. I'm just giving examples. And these thoughts will try to torment you now. Will you be stricken with that? Will you catch that? That's why this subject is so important. And really was one question really people want to know, is Jesus still doing that today? Is the benefit still good today? We heard about the healing revival back when Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and A.A. Allen and Amy Simple McPherson and all those were healing and having tent revivals and stuff, and people were just getting up out of wheelchairs and healings. Is God able to do that today? Yes, he is. So how does he do it? Because sickness, disease, pain, and plagues touch everyone everywhere. We all know someone in life who's been changed or challenged by the enemy of sickness and disease. But the scripture says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though a bad report from the doctor, a negative lab test, an unusual freckle, weird symptom, constant pain in our body causes us to seek and wonder, does Jesus still heal people today? Would he heal me? Because you have to personalize this. How does he do it? Does God care about this? Yes, he does. If Jesus is still the same, he healed people yesterday, he healed people today, and he'll heal people continually. Amen. Now, You look at the ministry of Jesus according to Matthew 9:37. It says Jesus went about all towns and villages teaching. Everybody say teaching. Teaching is the explanation of the gospel in their synagogues. Preaching, everybody say preaching. Preaching is the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing. Everybody say healing. Healing is a demonstration of the gospel. So he went about teaching, preaching, healing. So teaching is one third, preaching one third, healing is another third. Every disease and sickness. Every disease and sickness. Now get this. He's the same today. Hebrews 13:8 tells us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed people yesterday, we know he must be healing today because he's the same. That means he doesn't change. He's not going to change. He always was, always is, and ever will be a healer. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Acts 10:38 told us what he did yesterday, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, not doing bad, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was healing yesterday. He must be healing today. Amen. So where's the confusion? Because some people say God's trying to employ sickness to get our attention. This pain or tragedy must be because God doesn't love me. Isn't God the God who is love? And that sounds a little bit twisted, right? But don't those thoughts come to sometimes? God is love. He's not hate. He is love. He wants good. He doesn't bring sickness. So how does he do it? Now let's look at four foundational scriptures, and let's talk in the balance of our time just briefly about the ways he do it. I'm going to focus on the faith method. Okay? First foundational scripture is Psalms 103:22-3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all this, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who does what? Heals all your sins and what? Heals all your diseases. Everybody say this with me. There's nothing in me, that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in me, and on me, that the stripes of Jesus can't cure. That's your benefits. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. There's no, you can't get too far in a situation where God can't cleanse you from your sin. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin. That's part of the benefits packet. Who forgives all, how many of your iniquities? All, everybody say all. All your sins and heals how many of your diseases? All your diseases. So this needs to be like one of the table legs in your faith that hold up one end of the table. So the second table leg is number two, Isaiah 53:3-5. He was despised and rejected, forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with griefs and sicknesses, and like one from whom men hide their faces. And he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment. We ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten and afflicted by God as with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our guilt of our iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Isn't that good? We are healed and made whole by the stripes that wounded him. Isn't that good, beautiful? Now, that's the second table leg. Third one is Matthew 8:16-17. When evening come, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all. How many? All the sick. He healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. He took them so you don't have to take them. He carried them so you don't have to carry it in your body. Isn't that beautiful? All right, number four, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes ye were healed. If you were healed, then you are healed. You weren't healed. You're not trying to get healed today. You were healed 2,000 years ago when he took the stripes on his back. That's when healing was purchased, healing was procured, and it's secured as your benefit. That's beautiful, isn't it? Everybody say glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, how does God do it? Primarily three ways. So we got three pathways there. First one is God initiated. Everybody say God initiated. So God initiated healing for someone through his sovereign healing power. We know the example in the Gospels of the Pool of Bethesda. He sent an angel down and stirred the water, and whoever stepped in first was healed. We see it today in the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, special faith in the working of miracles. The gifts of healings are not as man wills, but as the Spirit wills. So there's the gifts of healings that come into manifestation. We can't make it work. We can't just pull it out of our pocket and make healing work because we don't own healing in a sense of we can't make healing go to work anytime we want. This is God initiated in a lot of cases. And there's been meetings where the gifts of healing were in operation, where God sovereignly just manifested in certain areas, certain conditions, certain diseases, certain ailments. Certain growths, lumps, and tumors got cured because the Lord wanted to go to work that night on those areas. Isn't that good? So those are by the sovereignty of the Lord. So when the anointing's there, it's there. It's there to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Second pathway is the faith initiated. Everybody say faith initiated. So a believer initiates God's healing power by their faith in God and his word. Now, we're going to get to that in just a second. I'm going to give you the third one, then I'm going to go back and explain a little bit more on number two. Number three is wisdom initiated. Everybody say wisdom initiated. Well, this is where the Holy Spirit talks to you, either through the word or by the Spirit himself, and help into health and wholeness. The Holy Spirit might tell you, you need to do this every day. You need to stop, pull back on this particular diet item because it's doing something to your body. We know that was an example with Brother Copeland when he had pain all over his elbow joints and all his muscles, and they were constricting, and he was in constant pain. He was getting in pain all the way down to his knees, and he was like, oh, man. He fasted and prayed 3 days and was asking the Lord, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And he said, I can't get over this. I can't get through this. And so he went to go pray, and first day, the Lord told him, too much coffee. But he kind of overrode that and kept praying. Third day, and he said, Lord, you know, you keep saying there's too much coffee. What does that mean? Well, the Lord began to talk to him. He said, well, there's an ingredient in coffee that your body completely rebelled against. Now, he was not just a coffee casual drinker. He was a coffeeaholic. He drank, he said, 8 to 12 cups a day. And so he would go with two thermoses of coffee, coffee mugs under his arm and one coffee cup in his hand. He was a coffee drinker. But that coffee product didn't do his body good. Now, his body didn't respond well to the ingredients that in coffee. And so the Lord had to tell him that coffee is not good for you. And you need to put coffee down. That's wisdom. Proverbs 4 says it's not a principal thing, it's the principal thing. You got to know the wisdom. There should be wisdom about your eating habits, your sleeping habits, your exercise habits. It's wisdom about that. And so he said, well, Lord, how do I put coffee down? Because I don't want to go through these withdrawals because people get these massive coffee headaches and migraines when they try to withdraw from coffee. He told him how to do it. He set it down, all the coffee equipment on all, put his hands over it, spoke over it. Didn't have one withdrawal. And at the time he told the testimony, it was almost 30, 40 years before since he had a craving or a cup of coffee. Everybody said, God is good. So he got rid of coffee that way. Now let's look at faith initiated as we close out. Because remember, the exercise of your faith is anytime, anywhere. Now, remember this truth, or remember this statement, healing always comes. Everybody say that with me. Healing always comes. Always comes. Healing always comes. But healing is not always received. Healing always comes, but healing's not always received. So you have to understand this. What's keeping me from receiving? Well, first of all, you got to believe. But you got to believe the right thing. So, John, if you would put up our last two verses here, we're going to just kind of work these and close. Mark 11:23. Jesus gave us the principles of the law of faith. Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say, everybody say, say. Say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast, and he shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is faith by saying principles. Faith works by saying. Faith works by praying. But if you pray it, you still have to say it. Amen. Now, most people want to pray and get better, but they don't want to say nothing. So he was telling the principle is you have to say it, even if you pray it. Say to what? Say to the mountain. That means you got to talk to your sickness. You got to talk to your disease. When Jesus went into the house of Peter, he rebuked the fever. The Bible says in Matthew 8, and it said, it, the fever, left her. You got to talk to your pain. So people can pray all these eloquent words. Oh, God, I thank you that that healing belongs to me. I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. I thank you this. I thank you that. And then they never talk to the sickness. Jesus said talk to the mountain. Mountain just represents something big, hard, seemingly impossible. So you got to talk to it. You got to speak to stuff. Amen? Remember faith and grace. Grace makes. Faith takes. To take your healing back that the devil trying to steal from you, you had to talk to him. No, you don't. Pain. Back pain. No, you don't. Back pain. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? You got to talk to your mouth. That means your mountain needs to hear your voice. Doesn't need to hear the pastor's voice. It needs to hear your voice. You have to dial the mountain up. Pain, stop it right now. I'm talking to you right now. In the name of who? Jesus. But he said, be thou removed. That means you got to say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. 9 words. And shall not, what? Doubt in your heart. You got to believe in your heart. What do you have to believe? Write this note down if you're taking notes. You got to believe 2 things. You got to believe that God has provided it for you. And you got to believe that God, it belongs to you. This is where it has to be personalized. Because everybody else can be getting their healing or receiving their healing, and you can be sitting up still sick. What's wrong with me? Well, you got to believe. He said, don't doubt where? In your heart. That means in your spirit, not in your blood pump, not the coronary artery, but you got to believe with your spirit. You got to believe in your heart. You might have doubt in your head, but you got to believe in your heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So you got to believe that healing exists. Healing has been provided by the grace and help of God, and then you have to believe that it belongs to you because of, this is the caveat, believe it belongs to you because of what Jesus has done, not what you're doing. Because some people want to get it by goody two-shoes. I pay my tithes. I come to church. I volunteer. I do all these things, but that you can't earn a healing. You can't merit a healing. You didn't buy it. So you have to believe it belongs to you because of the finished works of Jesus. So your belief and focus is in him, what he's done. By his stripes, ye were healed. I'm not healed because I'm goody two-shoes, I'm holy, and I'm righteous, and I get everything right. I don't have any problems in my life. I can get healed now. No, you can be the most righteous person in church, behavioral-wise, and still be sick. But you got to believe in what he's done. Believe in what he did. And because of what he did, it belongs to me. Isn't that good? And then, shall believe those things which you say shall come to pass. He shall have what? Whatsoever he said. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's not so instant. But you don't change what you say and what you believe. Because faith, there's no feelings in faith. So it might look like it's still there, just like the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree. It was still there. But he didn't change. He didn't come up in the morning and say, I wonder if this fig tree is withered up by the roots. No, Peter saw it was dried up by the roots the next day. Is this helping somebody? Now go to verse 24. Go to verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, do what? Now see, we see here praying. So he gives us principles for saying, then he gives us principles for praying. When you pray, believe that you receive them. So this is a different belief. So you believe that what? So you see, desire, you, meaning you, me, my desire, plus prayer, plus believe that you receive them, equals you will have them. So if you get prayed for, you don't pray and hope, will you be well when we pray? I don't care if you're at home or you're out there in the mall and you're praying with a friend and you say, let's pray and agree in Jesus' name for this sickness situation. You don't say, I sure hope so, and you crying and hoping God feels your tears. He's touched, but he's moved by faith. He's touched by your feelings, but he's moved by your faith. Your faith has to move him, and that moves God. When you pray, the time you pray, you have to believe that you receive. That means you believe you got it before you get it. Hallelujah. Now, it didn't say believe you're trying to get it. Try to get it. You believe you got it before you get it. Isn't that good? Yes. A lady was being ministered to as I'm closing. On this situation, she was a Presbyterian lady. She was going to a Presbyterian church, and she was just, she had so much pain. She had so much pain in her body. She had magnets taped on her skin. And then she had a blanket with magnets under it just to try to pull away some of the pain, devastation that she was constantly, her body was constantly throbbing and she was feeling. Now, she didn't know nothing about faith. Now, one of the beautiful things about faith is what we said, faith works the same in any arena, any sphere, any realm. Faith works the same. Everybody say, faith works the same. Jesus said, whosoever, that means anybody, and then shall have whatsoever he said. So faith works for anybody and work on anything. You don't have to have a PhD to lose faith. You don't have to be a medical doctor to understand faith. You can have faith right now. So she had to learn faith because she was all in the hope arena and wishing arena. Now people pray, hoping and a wishing. No, don't hope and wish. Desire is good, but you got to add prayer and you got to add believe that you receive when you pray. So he prayed. He had to teach her for about 40 minutes. Minister had to. About 40 minutes, and then she got it. And and he had to basically locate her because you locate people by words, by their confession. Okay, will you be healed? Will you see? And she still was in hope a little bit, so he had to go back and make her adjustments. And she had to believe in his finished work. She's trying to get healed, but he had to switch her from receive healing. Don't try to get it. Jesus got it for you. Jesus got it for everyone in this room. You just receive it. Believe it. Receive it. Isn't that good? And so, then she got it, got healed. 45 minutes. I mean, she walked in with a blanket with magnets all over. And so much pain, she couldn't hardly move. Instantly healed. Now, as she was leaving, she walked out. And he had taught her, speak to that stuff. Because he did it. He spoke to that pain. Leave her body now. Speak to that mountain. I command you to get out of there in Jesus' name. So you know, in so many words. So pain left her, took the blanket out, all these magnets off, she's walking out. Then all of a sudden the pain start burning in her back start coming. She said, how you doing, sister? And she was leaving. She said, well, all the pain's gone, but I still got burning in my back. He said, well, we didn't speak to burning in your back. We spoke to the pain in your body. So he said, what are you going to do? Well, she started praying religiously. He said, wait, you're not praying in faith. Nice prayer, beautiful prayer, but it ain't getting you nowhere. Come on now. Your feelings will touch heaven, but your faith will move heaven. Are you listening to me? Then she finally got it. I got to speak to this pain. And so he's burning in my back, this burning pain in my back. I curse you right now. I speak to you. I command you to cease and desist and stop right now in Jesus' name. Spoke to her mouth. She said, where's the pain? It's gone. Stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Jesus. Are we ready to receive the benefits? Amen.